Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Memorial Day weekend edition of the Grilling Guys. Hope you're in the middle of enjoying a long weekend. This is the time of year where we pause and reflect a little bit about those heroes that have gone before us that allow us to have the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy as Americans. And Barbecue Bob and I never forget that and want to pay honor to it as we move through, because a couple knuckleheads like us that get to play around and do the Grilling Guys, it's all because those that went ahead of us. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is a big weekend, and some people think it's kind of the kickoff to grilling in North America, but we all know that we grill year-round here, so it's just a time to intensify the fry and get a different apron out.
That's right, yeah. Get the summer colors out, right? Put the black one away.
Got to get the flowered one out, little French ruffles.
So, well, you know what else is a sign of spring is that you get out there and you might have a glass of wine as opposed to a big, heavy beer or a cocktail when you're grilling. And joining us today in the studio, and we're going to see if we can twist his arm and make him hang around, is Brian Lesperance from Fenn Valley Winery. Brian, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're glad you're here. And, you know, feel free to interrupt Bob at any point in time if you hear something that he's saying that you disagree with.
Fair enough.
Feel free to pour a glass of wine, too, because yeah. I think it's after 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So Fenn Valley is, they've been our sponsors, and that's how I met Brian. They became sponsors when we were a fledgling little show.
Right.
And I reached out to him. I said, who's the closest vintner? And it's like, Fenn Valley, yeah, I've heard of them, had never been there. So I thought, well, I got a good excuse to go down there. And I actually talked to Brian, but I met his father-in-law, Doug Welch, who we worked with for several years. Doug's now retired and gallivanting around the world. He's a globetrotter. And,
he's semi-retired. he does the fun parts of the job.
Yeah, well, and Brian is at the helm now. And so welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for your years of sponsorship and keeping us on the air.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You mm-hmm. know, it's been fun for us to talk grilling and wine, because I think that's something people don't always think about.
We do.
Yeah, right. There's always something in my left hand when the tongs are in the right, and generally it's a glass of something.
That's weird, because you're left-handed. So
I understand.
You,
but
you tong
well,
with
the priority
your right
is the
I drink with my left hand, Bob. That's why.
Oh, that's the
priority. Is there,
okay,
right?
The skill is all in your left.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
that
yeah.
makes sense.
Right. The left arm
it.
Bends, the
I
mouth opens. You know, that's how that
sure.
goes.
I might be a little ambidextrous on both.
That's calling two-fisted, is what that is.
As long as you don't have the tongs in the same hand that
if
your glass
you know
is in.
If you've got talent, you can do that, but it is difficult.
So Fenn Valley, that's, man, we all know the history. I mean, this little circle does, but why don't you tell folks when this place started and how it started, because it's a very cool story.
Sure. I'll do my best to do that story justice. We started in 1973, so at the time, making wine in Michigan was not necessarily an obvious decision. And so Doug and his father, Bill, were just enough crazy to figure out that you could combine agriculture and retail, two of the most difficult things to put to go to work doing, and combine them into one business. And so we've been doing it ever since. They found a really neat farm in Fennville, which is about 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids, just off 196. And bought part of it and sort of acquired some additional parcels over the years, and started making wines at first. And Doug will be the first to admit they were pretty crappy. Developed some skill, traveled all over the country, learning from other folks who had a little more experience. Gradually started making more and more sophisticated styles of wine. The wines that we tend to make in Michigan are modeled more after the European style, especially some of the cooler climates in Europe, like Burgundy, where their climate is similar to us in Michigan. So it's a lighter, it's a more fruit-driven, little lower alcohol style wine that we make here in Southwest Michigan. So we sit here today on about 240 acres of some of the most beautiful farmland in Elgin County, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And we produce about 50 to 60,000 cases of wine annually now. We've become kind of big for Michigan, although my assistant winemaker came to us from Gallo, probably heard of him, and they have tanks that can hold more wine than our entire cellar, which I appreciate because right. we get to do fun stuff. We're small enough still where we can make some small batches. We're going to have a few small batches we're going to talk about today.
So. Cool. If you just tuned in, you are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Wherever you're at, we want to thank you for listening. And WPS, The Twister, Wood Radio, ESPN, and WOND in New Jersey. There's wineries around everybody. So this conversation pertains to any part of the U.S. because the wineries seem to have popped up all over the place. But I think it's cool the way that your grandpa, your wife's grandpa, picked that land, and it just turned out to be just a fantastic place to produce grapes.
Now, the farmland is, we were talking about it, is here in Michigan anyway, is we had a little danger of frost about 3 or 4 weeks ago where we had some unseasonably warm weather, and then all of a sudden we had 2 or 3 days of very, very cold weather for May. And we ended up losing some of our crops that are along the lake shore a little bit north of where we are. But, Brian, it was interesting to me for you to explain all the factors that go into that. Could you maybe go down that road a second?
Yeah. I mean, that's always the diciest time of year for us is spring. This climate provides us with enough drama where we don't have to go to the casino to go gambling. We just go to work every day. And what tends to happen is you do get that warm-up. This is not uncommon, and everything starts to shoot out. Luckily, wine grapes are, for lack of a better way to put it, kind of lazy. So they're typically behind a lot of your tree fruits. And so we didn't have a lot of development of green tissue, which is obviously what would be damaged by the cold air.
So they're a little bit safer than, say, cherries maybe or apples, peaches.
They tend to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the timing is everything. There's certain developmental stages where they're more tender than others. So sometimes even a couple days can make a difference. But the big thing is we're near the lake. And that's why, of course, all the fruit that we see along the shores of Lake Michigan is there because the lake does a nice job of moderating our environment. And this time was a good example. The lake surface temperature is rather warm for this time of year because we had a fairly mild winter. And so those of us near the lake saw less low temperature that specific evening. I remember it was a Sunday night because you had that surface air, you know, the blowing across the lake, getting a slight amount of warmth.
It warms it up a little bit.
Just a couple of degrees is all it takes. You know, mm-hmm. those fans that you see in orchards, all they're doing is maybe 3-4 degree change of temperature, and that can make all the difference.
That's pretty cool. But we're going to, in the next segment, we're going to taste a little bit of this Fen Valley, and my mouth's watering just looking at this here. It's just such a great, you have so many wines. We're gonna delve into the different varietals you have. I want to give a little shout out, Jop, if you don't mind, to a fantastic lady who left us this week. Her name was Lila Grummet, and her husband was the Kent County Sheriff. Kent County is like the second or third largest county in Michigan, and he was the sheriff here for a long time. Big man and a legendary sheriff, a great family. And Lila just passed away. I just went to her funeral Thursday, and she's just a fantastic lady, and just kind of want to give her a little bit of respect.
Well, and yeah, I mean, it's Memorial Day, and all the public servants, it just isn't the armed forces, it's our firemen, our ambulance, our police, all of these guys that give of themselves, and ladies, that give of themselves to keep us safe so we can have a little bit of fun and live life with our liberties and freedoms. This is traditionally one of the weekends that we stop and pause and we thank those people.
Yeah, and it's actually for those who have fallen, and Colonel Gillum's going to be on in the third segment to kind of tell us a little bit about Memorial Weekend. So,
coming up next, take off your shoes, walk into grapes, we're making some wine. Stick with us, we'll be back.
Well, they're serving another Messiah here tonight, but we're always in the divine.